Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is the Locked On NHL Podcast, your Tuesday edition of the show. Going to be a fun one. Joe DiBiase from Locked On Sabres. Nice and sunburned from the Memorial Day weekend. And Mike DeStefano from Locked On Leafs, probably burned for another reason. What's up, Mike?
Yeah, definitely, definitely burned. You know, last night, I went off on the Leafs for that Game 7 performance.
Yep.
I mean, the fact that they got eliminated in seven games to the Canadiens after being clear-cut favorites and, like, massive favorites is one thing. But to do it in the fashion in which they did, where they gave up a 3-1 series lead and then played, like, ass in Game 7 is just took the cake. Just took the anger and outrage to a whole nother level for Leafs Nation.
Yep. Well, you can already tell we're chomping at the bit to talk about Leafs Habs. So we're going to do that right at the top here. But if you're looking for coverage or some analysis of the other series, stay tuned for the second segment. We're going to preview Montreal, Winnipeg, and we'll go through what's going on between Boston and New York, Tampa and Carolina, and Vegas and Colorado. But yeah, we got to start with Leafs because they've now lost, what do I want to say here, opening round series in the Stanley Cup playoffs for a fifth consecutive year. The Habs this year, Blue Jackets last year, Bruins twice before that, and then the Capitals in 2017. So it's amazing that it's happened this many times in a row. They still have the second longest playoff series drought in the National Hockey League, only to be usurped by the Florida Panthers, who have not won since 96. But you're right, Mike, like the fashion that it happened, like everyone going into the series even, you would have thought, okay, Montreal, like this is not that good a team. They have Carey Price, but Carey Price has not been the typical Carey Price we've seen this year. But Vezina Carey Price, I think, showed up in this series. But even with that, they're down 3-1, and it's even in my mind, I'm like, okay, Toronto, they're finally going to do it. They're finally going to get through that first round, and maybe this is just the dam that breaks and that they're going to go all the way maybe. Like, that could happen. They're talented enough to do that. And, like, I can't believe – even – as someone that has like laughed at it like for 4 years, I can't believe that they blew that 3-1 lead to Montreal.
Well, you better believe it because it happened. It happened.
Would you agree they outplayed them though throughout the entire series?
Did, right?
I think this was just Carey Price. I thought the Leafs, even you know what, well, the one period I want to bring up for this because it wasn't every period. Game six overtime. I mean, they had Montreal on their heels for, like, the entirety of that overtime period. And absolutely, it's like, boom, first scoring chance the Habs gets, and it's in the back of the net. Like, that's just kind of – that's going to be my mentally, like, how I think of this series looking back.
Absolutely. You can really break this series down into one complete statement, and it's Mitch Marner and Auston Matthews didn't do their job and Carey Price did his. Like, at the end of the day, that's kind of how you can sum up this series. Because, like, injuries definitely played a role. Like, Tavares goes down, and then Foligno wasn't 100%. Hyman wasn't 100%. Both of those arguably playing at 50%, to be honest. Jake Muzzin wasn't there for Game 7, so you got to kind of, you know, jig with your defensive pairings a little bit in your matchups. So, you know, injuries definitely play a factor, but, you know, there's injuries on both sides. You know, not everyone's 100%. I don't think Brendan Gallagher was 100%. Ben Chiarot probably wasn't 100%. You know, like Carey Price missed the last month and a half of the season, and that was no excuse. He still went out there and did his job. So, you know, injuries aside, at the end of the day, Mitch Marner and Auston Matthews scoring one goal between them through the entire seven-game series is inexcusable. And that's solely the reason why they lost this series. Solely. Like, you could talk about Carey Price, how well he played, all you want. So you could talk about how the Leafs, you know, gave up a 3-1 lead. The truth is that Toronto played well enough to win that series. Toronto definitely controlled and like should have won five of those seven games. That should have been done in four, should have been done in five. But they hung around, allowed them to get to a game six at home, changes things a little bit once you introduce fans, and didn't really wake up for that game. in game six. It took them a little bit to get going. And, you know, Montreal ends up scoring first. They build on that lead, get a second goal. Toronto comes back, which is nice, but then loses in overtime after really controlling play in OT, as you mentioned a moment ago. And then game seven, same script, didn't show up to play. And then Montreal scores first, and then they build on that with another goal. And Toronto just incapable to mount the comeback for a third consecutive game. And now they're packing their bags and the season's over.
So before we got going here, Mike even told me, like, he's level head right now. You could tell, like, he's calm, cool, and collected the morning after the game seven. You said last night that you were yelling, though. Like, what were you yelling about? Was it Matthews Marner?
You can go check out the Locked On Leafs podcast for my raw thoughts. Like, within 15 minutes of the final horn going, me and Sean Woodley of Locked On Raptors, he's also like a head rep here with us with Locked On NHL.
Yep.
We got on the mic and we just started talking. Like, we didn't really have a clear, concise podcast script set up. We just went. And it was just raw thoughts and whatever came to our heads, we were just spewing. So it was pretty unfiltered and pretty raw, but it was pretty good, I think. And mainly, yeah, like Mitch Marner to me was the biggest disappointment here in this series. He didn't play well at all. Zero goals. He's now 18 straight games without a playoff goal. 18 games, playoff games without a goal. He was the direct causation of the Brendan Gallagher goal, a terrible turnover trying to bring the puck over the blue line, and it gets sent up to Gallagher. And granted, Jack Campbell should have had that one. That wasn't a very good goal, but he played well throughout the entire playoffs, so you're not going to blame him and be upset with Jack Campbell. But to me, Mitch Marner and Auston Matthews, it's those two who failed to do their job. The biggest thing that, like, going into this series was, you know, Montreal can't hold a candle to Marner and Matthews, so they can't keep up with the Joneses. They're not going to win this series. Well, when they limit them to one goal, yeah, they can keep up with one goal out of those guys, which is the most disappointing thing. Look at the three out of the four losses. They lost by two last night. Technically, one was an empty netter, so you can even think about they lost by one goal in each of their four losses, if you consider last night's an empty netter as a one-goal game. One goal. You would assume that between Marner, Matthews, and Hyman, that first line, that top line altogether, who combined for, I think, almost 80 goals in a 56-game season throughout the regular season, you would assume that they should be good for at least one goal between the three of them in every single game. You get that one goal in game five. It doesn't go to overtime. The Leafs win regulation. In game six, it doesn't go to overtime. The Leafs win regulation. You get it in game one. Paul Byron's game winner with a couple minutes left is no longer the game winner. It's the game tying goal, and the Leafs still have a chance to win game one, and it's a whole different script. So to me, it was the failures of that top line that really was the demise of this team here in this playoffs and the reason why they're now going golfing instead of getting ready for the Jets in round two.
Mm-hmm. So that leads me to ask you what happens next. I think I asked you this question in a hypothetical before the series started, and I'm forgetting your answer at the time, so it could be a refresher too, but maybe things have changed over the series. But does someone get fired? Is there a big shakeup in the core? Or do they could do nothing, or they could – Freddie Anderson's a free agent. Jack Campbell had a very good regular season but had some moments in the playoffs. He even said last night that the Gallagher goal – he was upset about the Gallagher goal. That
he was.
He called it the worst goal of his career.
That's probably just him. I mean,
right.
He wears his heart on his sleeve, man. Like, when this team loses, which it didn't happen that often, he was 17-2-3, I believe, throughout the regular season. Like, he did a whole heck of a lot of winning for this team.
Yeah.
But when they did lose, like, he took it pretty hard, and he kind of he accepted all the losses on him. That's kind of just the way that he is. It's just who Jack Campbell is as a person. Always wants to do his best for his teammates, but. You know, he can be as hard as he wants on that goal. It was a pretty crap goal. It was a bad goal. You know, it happens. You're not going to love every single goal that the goalie allows. But at the end of the day, dude, it was one goal.
And it doesn't erase the season.
No, but the team in front of him should be able to account for one bad goal. Like, they should be able to erase that and get that back for you. And they weren't able to do it. The only goal that they scored was with a minute and a half left when they had pulled the goalie at 3-0. They ended up breaking the shutout with William Nylander.
Yep, Nylander.
But part of that, they didn't score all game. There was no urgency. No urgency in yesterday's game at all. Urgency and intensity were completely missing in game 6 and game 7. Joe, go back and watch the game last. Well, you're probably not going to, but if you recall last night,
I watched the whole game. So yeah.
Do you remember a face wash? A scrum?
Like, no, you're right. There was none of that. Yeah.
Nothing. It's game 7. Leafs have game 7. You have fans in the building for the first time, only 550, but still. And there was nothing, no urgency. What's Joe? You got me going again.
I did it. That was my goal at the outset of the show.
Oh, you got me going again. But like, you understand why I'm so frustrated.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't that they lost. It's how they lost. The lack of energy, the lack of heart that was on display in last night's do or die game 7 was what was more frustrating than the loss itself. It was how they lost. Not that they lost, but how they lost. And that's what I think angers me most, because they should have won. This year was supposed to be different for Toronto. It was supposed to be different. They went out, they got guys like Thornton, Simmons. They trade a first-round pick for Nick Foligno. This was all guys who are supposed to get this young core molded and get them over the hump and teach them how to put a team away and win. And it didn't happen. And it's just so frustrating as a Leaf fan. Mm-hmm. That you thought things were going to be different, but it's the same result. A disappointing first round exit.
Like, it's a team that you were heavily favored against going in. So yeah, it's.
Yeah. And a massive rival. Like, at that. And like, this was the first time that we had Leafs had since 1979.
Right.
And it was like supposed to be a massive rival. And it was, it lacked intensity. I mean, fans probably, the lack of fans, I guess, play a big factor. Like, when you consider the amount of intensity in the playoff series down south, and we'll get to those in shortly here.
Yep.
But like, I truly believe that, you know, no fans in the stands played a factor into the lack of intensity here, played a factor into the Leafs' slow starts in both game 6 and game 7, which allowed Montreal to stay in it. Like, the Leafs had 14 shots through two periods of play yesterday. 14 shots. Like, when you think of Toronto, you think of offensive juggernaut. That is what they were through the regular season. One of the best goal-scoring teams in the league. They had the Rocket Richard winner in Austin Matthews.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't do anything. All the shots that they got were all kind of fluff shots from the point, just trying to see if they can hit a body or a stick and get screen Carey Price and get through. But they weren't getting to the slot. They weren't getting to the dirty areas. They weren't getting those grade A chances. And the one time they did, technically, was William Nylander when he scored. But it was a little too late by that point. So it was in the fashion in which they lost that game 7, which makes it so infuriating as a Leafs fan.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've got plenty more from Mike at Locked On Leafs. You heard he was with Sean Woodley on last night's episode. I have not listened to that episode yet, and I'm definitely going to do it on my way to work today, this afternoon, because I do want to hear the raw emotion, because it is unique. It is crazy. There are not enough adjectives to describe what this series has been between the Canadiens and the Maple Leafs. So Montreal moves on, though, and we've got a series to preview there between the Canadiens and the Jets. So we'll do that, and we'll bounce around some of the other series in the NHL when we come back here on the Locked On NHL podcast with Joe DiBiase and Mike DiStefano.
RockAuto.com, a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They got everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique, remarkably easy to navigate, quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle, and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. A word for Bet Online, the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but you got the NBA, college hoops, the NHL, all in full swing. Bet Online even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. For these Sabre games, you could bet on the exact amount of which either the Sabres or their opponent will win by. So if you think the Sabres are going to win by exactly two, you can find odds for the Sabres winning by exactly two. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds, the best way to place your bets, and it is free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline.ag is the site. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Remember to use the promo code Locked On. Stonks, memes, rocket ships, day trading can be a lot of fun, but if you want to grow your long-term wealth and make it to the moon, you should open up a Wealthfront investment account today. Decades of data show that investors that trade individual stocks underperform the market every year. In fact, only 1% of day traders beat the market. The odds are not in your favor if you're doing it alone. Team up with Wealthfront instead. Investing can be complicated, but whether you're a beginner or where you've been investing for years, Wealthfront makes it easy. They have the right tools for every portfolio. Wealthfront can create a portfolio of globally diversified, low-cost index funds personalized just for you in minutes. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/LockedOnNHL. All you need is $500 to get started. Grow your wealth the easy way and let Wealthfront do the work for you. To get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to wealthfront.com/LockedOnNHL. That's WEALTHFRONT.com/LockedOnNHL to start growing your savings. Go to wealthfront.com/LockedOnNHL and get started today.
Welcome back to the Locked On NHL podcast. Joe DiBiase at Sneaky Joe Sports from Locked On Sabres. Mike DiStefano at Mickey_Canuck on Twitter from Locked On Leafs here on the national show today. We have got other series going around in the NHL right now as the second round has begun. But let's preview while we're still talking about Montreal and that first round series against the Leafs. Their second round series upcoming against the Winnipeg Jets. Maybe a lot of people wanted to see Matthews versus McDavid. Instead, you're getting Scheifele versus Deneau or Anderson, whoever you want to put in front there for Montreal. Price is really the guy you should do for that.
Price versus Hellebuyck is really the matchup for me.
Exactly.
It is. Like, those are the two best players on the team, the goaltending.
That's right.
That's what's going to make this – whichever goalie doesn't come to play, that team is going to lose, in my opinion. I think that definitely right. happened. And both of these teams play very similar style game, which is why this is going to be an interesting series in my estimation. I don't know how I feel about it. I know a lot of people just assume that it's going to be Winnipeg because they're much deeper. But, I mean, Toronto's a pretty deep club themselves. And Montreal was able to handle that pretty easily. The only thing that I think is different where Winnipeg maybe has the upper hand is that they are a heavier team and they'll be willing to go into – the grittier areas. They'll have guys like Blake Wheeler and Andrew Kopp, and you know, they'll go to the net. Mark Scheifele, they'll go to the net and set up shop and, you know, try and screen the goaltender or get some deflections, and that's the way you're going to beat Carey Price. So that, I think, maybe bodes better for Winnipeg in a matchup with the Canadiens than the Leafs. But that being said, like, I'm not going to underestimate Montreal anymore. I'm not going to underestimate Carey Price anymore. It's going to be a good series. I'm actually, as much as I obviously wish that it, we were seeing like a Matthews versus McDavid or Matthews versus, you know, anyone, just hope that they're still there. But this still, I think, is going to be a pretty decent matchup.
I do too. And I think you make a good point that like the goalies are the best two players in this series. And if If Price looks the way he did in round one, I would trust that Hellebuck will look the way he has, because I did not have questions, and nobody really had questions about Hellebuck coming into the playoffs that they did about Carey Price. If both goaltenders are at their A game throughout this series, I'm going to pick the Jets, though, because I think they do have more firepower up front than Montreal does. Montreal's got that depth. We've talked about them really all season, that they kind of have four second lines, like they just go right one after the other. But the Shifleys, the Wheelers, you know, the Ehlers, Connors, like I trust in, even though Toronto went down, again, I made a point in the first segment that I believe, and I think you agreed, that I thought Toronto was the better team in round one. They just didn't get the result they wanted. So I think the Jets are a better overall team. And the goalie, again, I trust him more than Carey Price to be at his A game than I do Price, even though the way Price looked, you might get both. So I would go with the Jets in seven in this series. If you made me pick today, I would go with the Jets in seven. Same as you, not going to underestimate Montreal, and that's why I'm going to have it go the distance. But end of the day, I'm picking Winnipeg in the series.
Well, I'll say this about Montreal, too. They didn't play their best, which is crazy. You would think for them to have to beat Toronto, they would have to play their best. But, I mean, Gallagher, yeah, he scored in the final game, and that was obviously a massive goal and probably the one that sealed the deal. But, you know, he was not really that great throughout the rest of the series. Tyler Toffoli was almost inexistent through the series. Josh Anderson, Sons, a solid game one, pretty inexistent through the series. Like, these are guys who are supposed to be like the catalyst for Montreal in their offense, and they didn't get going, and they still found ways to win. So if they can also get going, I think that they actually, I don't see them as like a threat, like a dangerous team, but you know, Winnipeg with such a leaky defense, the way that Montreal plays, they play so hard. I think that they can, if they can get inside and those guys can get going, it may yield more results. Like, in order for Winnipeg to beat Edmonton, it was pretty simple. Shut down the McDavid line. So you just threw everything in the kitchen sink at McDavid and Draisaitl. And once you did that, you were going to win. We can't quite do that with Montreal. You're going to have to space things out and kind of roll all your lines, because they can beat you with three different lines. Like, it's just the way that they're built. They're just insanely deep. They don't have star power, but they have a lot of, like you said, second liners. They have a lot of role guys, like a lot of quality players. So I think that they'll stand a chance here. But ultimately, I think I'm with you, and I think that Winnipeg will probably end up winning a series. If I had to put a number on it just for funsies, let's call it a six gamer. I think Winnipeg wins this thing in six games. Just how much longer can Carey Price do this? You know what I mean? Like, how much longer can he stand on his head?
Well, if I think back, and I'm going to be stretching to reach into my memory here, he was great last year when they upset Pittsburgh. And then that round two, I feel like I remember him kind of falling flat. But again, that's reaching a little bit. So we'll see. Okay, other series, Boston and New York. Mike was tied up with the reaction to the Leafs loss last night, but that game was electric. It was back and forth. It was a full building at TD Garden. Really stark difference. I mean, the Leafs Canadian series was like, I was on the edge of my seat. I was actually watching with my dad and my brother. We were all like glued to it. And you didn't really notice there not being fans there. And then we flip over to Islanders Bruins, and like, you could tell it was like the loudest building you had ever heard. And it's like, whoa, like that playoffs are back. Kind of feeling. And the game again was up and down the ice, a style that the Islanders typically don't play, but it kind of worked for them in game two. I mean, even the goal, it's a defensive lapse by Boston. It's Casey Cizikas kind of sneaking out of the offensive zone early and getting that stretch pass, and then scoring on the breakaway to win it. So it was a great game too, evenly played back and forth. That series is at 1-1. Now at BetOnline, our partners over at BetOnline.ag, they still have the Bruins as a favorite, and they actually have them as a pretty sizable favorite at -195. So I would agree with that. I would pick Boston to win the rest of this series because of the talent up front, and I thought they were a lot better in game one. Where would you be on that? Would you still be picking Boston 1-1 here?
Yeah, I think I'd still be going Boston here as the winner. I wonder if yesterday's game wavered at all for you. Like, did you change your mind after watching yesterday's game?
Well, I did a little bit. So I think when me and Tom Gazzola, my Friday co-host, picked this series, I think I had Boston in five. I think the Bruins have been, after Colorado, they've been playing like the second best team in hockey for maybe a month now. So I had them winning in five. The way the Islanders looked last night, I would probably stretch it to six or seven. I'd have to think about that because the Islanders would have game six at home. So I guess I could see it going seven. I'm more open to that possibility than I was yesterday after seeing that game by New York. But I would still pick Boston for sure.
I still just don't see the firepower on New York. And I'm just, you know, completely sticking to brand and doubting this, you know, pesky New York team. But they've already made a goalie switch. It worked out yesterday. Varlamov played well, obviously. Brought him to overtime, kept him in it, and ended up winning the game. But, you know, when you make a goalie switch after one game, it's somewhat of a desperation play. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's tough to say that because Varlamov still is a really good goalie, and, like, they just have two elite goaltenders. But, you know, he wasn't absolutely dynamite. Like, he gave up a lead in the third period to get it to overtime, right? Yep. And I think that the Bruins still are the cream of the crop in that division. I thought so a couple months ago. I thought so at the deadline. I thought so at the beginning of the playoffs, and I still think that. And this is just like a little blip on the radar. I truly believe it. I think they can still end this thing in five games. I just don't see New York. And if Boston's going to dictate play and play a run and gun style of offense, and New York's going to have to adapt to that, sure, they won this one, but I don't see that happening in a seven game series.
That's a great point.
Like Boston's going to win that one. Like they're going to win most of these games if that's the case. And I mean, they had what, 40 something shots on goal in game one?
They ended up with that in game two also.
Like, that's not the Islanders' game, man. Like, the Islanders, they shut it down, and you struggle to get pucks on net. And that hasn't been the case for Boston over the last couple of games. So, you know, if they're taking the Islanders away from their structured game that they play, and they're kind of showing that they're a little leaky, that bodes so well for the Bruins. And I think that they'll win this thing in five. Like, the Islanders got one. They got one. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they'll get another.
You made a great point about the style of game. Because, yes, I was impressed that the Islanders played that yesterday. But you're right. If it's going to be up and down the ice, Boston's going to win this thing quick. The Islanders are going to want to get it into like a slugfest back and forth. 42 shots last night. So, yeah, they have both over 40 shots in each of the first two games. Boston does.
Thoughts on that Taylor Hall hit? I saw clips of it. Looks like a blindside on was it Palmieri?
Yeah, let me rewatch it again real quick because I only saw it in real play and I didn't.
So, because I just saw, obviously, I was, you know, a little preoccupied with my own game, but you know, still perusing Twitter and I saw it happen and people were up in arms. I guess there wasn't a call made, there was nothing, and which is surprising because he was just laying there on the ice, and it's like, definitely got a piece of him. And I didn't hear anything about whether or not there was going to be a hearing or anything, but that seemed like quite the blindside hit to the head.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be a hearing. I can't even find the video of it, which I think, should that say that there's not a lot of reaction to it? I saw tweets about it last night, and I saw the hit in play, and if I remember right, I thought, I was surprised that wasn't a penalty. I don't think I thought anything of like supplementary discipline.
I think the Leafs just broke hockey Twitter. No one's worried or cared about what's going on there. Everyone's still just like reeling from the Leafs loss, and that play just completely forgotten about.
I think you're right. Well, let's roll through the other two series that are going on right now real quick. Tampa is up 1-0 against Carolina. A lot have been thinking that Tampa and Boston meeting in the semis is inevitable. But we have the reseeding, so I guess that might not happen. Boston is at +450 right now to win the Stanley Cup. Tampa's at +400. So we're going to have the top couple teams here that we're talking about. Let me ask you a betting question. Because if I just ask you who's going to win the series, I think that might be easy. Right now at Bet Online, our partners at Bet Online, you can bet over under Carolina plus 1.5 games in this series at plus 115. So it's kind of an even bet. So basically, you're betting on Carolina to get this series to a seventh game. Would you take that bet right now for Carolina?
To take them to a seventh game? Take them to a sixth game.
Carolina to get them to a seventh game. Because if Tampa wins 4-2, then they'll win that bet because they would have won the series 4-2 at minus 1.5.
Oh, yeah.
See what I mean? So for Carolina to win the bet, they can either win the series or they lose in seven.
Right. No,
you going Tampa side?
I don't see it happening. Like, I like Carolina. I think Carolina's a really good team. Don't get me wrong. I just, Tampa's just different.
Tampa's Tampa.
Tampa's different. They're the reigning champs for a reason. Kucherov missed 9 months of hockey, yet looks like he didn't even miss a beat. You got Vasilevsky playing at the top of his game, as usual. Victor Hedman doing his thing. Braden Point, you know, Barkley Goudreau, they're getting that depth scoring going again. Steven Stamkos is out there contributing this year. You know, this is just such a talented team, man. And I love Carolina. I think they have so many talented players, but Tampa's just a juggernaut. It's so difficult to beat them. And, like, as amazing as Alex Nedeljkovic has played, and as great as Peter Mrazek can be if he ends up getting into this series, they're still not Andre Vasilevsky, who, in my opinion, is like the goaltender of the like next generation. So, I'm not going to take that bet.
Okay, so you would pick Tampa to win in
5 or 6. Yeah,
5 or 6. Yeah. Okay, and then on the Western Conference side, I mean, just kind of looking over at Bet Online, Colorado is like the biggest favorite this far into a playoffs to win that I've ever seen. They are plus 140 to win the Stanley Cup. That's more than twice as likely as Tampa and Boston, who are right after that. They are minus 200 to reach the Stanley Cup Finals. They're a heavy favorite to finish off Vegas and then win the next round. That's how big of a favorite Colorado is. And, like, I get it. Like, they look unbelievable. They are flying. And they smoked Vegas in game one, 7-1. So, like, what's the best question about Colorado here? Mike, would you take Colorado or the field to win the Stanley Cup? How about that?
Colorado. I'm taking Colorado. Wow. Well, first and foremost, because
it's so crazy to say. Like, I think I agree with you, but it's crazy to say when there's eight teams left that you would pick one over the other seven.
Yeah, I know. But, like, especially with the parity in the league, you would think. But, I mean, personally, I made some bets at betonline.ag, some futures, and I got a couple $100 coming my way if Colorado does win the Stanley Cup. So I hope that Colorado wins the Stanley Cup because I pegged that to happen very early on this season. And then again, about midway through the season, I doubled down a little bit. And so I'm loving what I'm seeing. Like, they look absolutely phenomenal. Now, I'll say this. Vegas definitely just looked dog tired. Like, they were coming off a game 7 a couple nights before against in a tough series against Winnipeg, really wore them down. And Colorado completely rested off the heels of a 4-game sweep. So, you know, we got to take that into account here. I don't think that this series is going to be a cakewalk for Colorado like game 1 was. Reeves suspended for 2 games. That's going to probably be a little bit of a hurting, I guess, for the morale in Vegas, but I'm not too sure if that really hurts them on the ice. Like, that may actually work out in their benefit a little bit. But ultimately, Colorado is just a little too much. You know, there's a lot of people that think whoever wins this series is going to win the cup, and it's extremely possible. And I think it's going to end up being Colorado.
Yep.
And I still am taking them against the field to win the cup, especially, you know, getting plus money out of it. Let's go.
Yep. I like that. I would pick them to win over the field too. And again, it's crazy because the parity in the league almost ever saying one over the other seven, but you know, part of it's that North Division too. Maybe that plays into why they're such a heavy favorite to reach the finals, because if they get past Vegas, I think they're playing. Oh, do I have this right? Are they playing the winner of Winnipeg and Montreal?
Yeah, so it's basically already actually set up, the Final Four. So it's going to be whoever comes out of that series is going to play whoever wins the North series.
Yep.
And then the Central and East play each other. So, like, even if it gets reseeded, like, no matter what, the top two seeds are in the West Division, and then the bottom two are in the North Division. So whoever wins, that's that. Those are the series. We already know what the matchups are going to be. It's just who comes out of those series.
Right. That's right. And that's that. I'm sure that plays into the odds, because if there was a possibility they could end up playing Tampa or Boston somehow, or even like Carolina, then maybe their odds of even reaching the finals wouldn't be twice as likely as not. Whereas I'm sure everyone thinks they'll make quick work of Montreal and probably Winnipeg. So
yeah,
I'm sure that plays into it.
The way I had it working out for my Final Four, I had Tampa versus Toronto, and then it was Colorado and Boston. And then I had Tampa and Colorado making it through, and Colorado become the eventual champs. That's how I kind of drew it up at the beginning. Clearly, that's not going to happen anymore with the Leafs getting eliminated last night. But I think that just makes Colorado's path a lot better. Like a lot better now. If you have to, if they do end up taking on Tampa in the final, which is still possible, instead of having to go through the Boston Bruins to get it.
All right. Well, we'll know plenty more about these series when we get to our next episode next week, next Tuesday. Who knows? Maybe even some of these series will be over with by then. Not the North, but the other ones potentially. Me and Tom Gazzola will continue to talk playoffs on Friday here on the Locked On NHL podcast. So thanks, everybody, for listening. If you want more on the Leaf series, I know we only did it for half the show today. Go check out Locked On Leafs with Mike. Good stuff. I know I'm going to do it today on my drive to work. So thanks, everybody, for listening. And we'll talk to you next week here on the Locked On NHL podcast with Joe DiBiase and Mike DiStefano, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.